If you take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke, the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, we'll begin at verse 8 and go through 20. This is the word of the Lord. Listen carefully. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there were with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherd told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. And the congregation said, Amen. Well, this morning I want to look at a very familiar story. No doubt for some of you, this is a story that is told on an annual basis. The incarnation is important to those who profess Christ. Without the incarnation, there's no forgiveness of sins. Without the incarnation, there's no hope of a resurrection. It's a story that is precious to the church because from the incarnation comes all our hope and our calling. And so this morning I want us to examine a familiar story through 3 points: declaration, decision, and devotion. Declaration, decision, and devotion. The declaration is one that we've already sung of this morning. It's the theme of many Christmas carols. It's rightly treasured among the faithful. But before we look at the declaration, I want us to look at the audience who received that declaration. I want you to notice them. What's fascinating about the Gospel of Luke is actually how little time Luke spends at the stable. Hopefully you've noticed that. An entire chapter is spent foretelling the birth of Christ. 7 verses only are spent on the birth of Christ. Just 7. And then the rest of the chapter is about the impact of the incarnation. And one of the impacts is the declaration and the audience of that declaration. So who's the audience? The group is a bunch of shepherds. They're in the field doing their work. They're going about their regular lives, serving in their regular vocation. Here's who receives the great declaration. Now we have to be careful because in the visible church, myth and legend has grown up around the shepherds. Myth and legend has grown around a lot of the incarnation. For instance, there's a myth that the shepherds were outcasts and impoverished. That's not found anywhere in the Gospels. As a matter of fact, the best that we can find that source is from 5th century rabbinical Judaism. And it's just been accepted into the church. Another myth is that these weren't impoverished shepherds. They were special shepherds. They were priestly shepherds. And these flocks weren't just regular flocks. These flocks were for the temple. Can't find that anywhere in the gospel witness. And as a matter of fact, if you hold on to these myths, it actually takes away from the gospel message. Because the great and glorious news of the incarnation comes first to regular people living regular lives, going about their regular vocation. And if we add anything to it, we actually harm the gospel. Because what Luke wants you to see is that Christ was meant for regular people. Christ was a gift from God to regular people living regular lives. And to these regular workers going about their regular night, an angel appears and makes a glorious declaration. And it's a declaration not merely for them, but you notice how it's worded, for all the people. Now there's some debate on what does that mean. But in the Gospel of Luke, in the context of all that has come before it, from chapter 1 to now, the most obvious group that this is referring to is God's covenant people, the Jews. And proof of that is actually in the angel's declaration. Did you notice it's not Bethlehem, but it's City of David? Did you also notice that it's the Anointed One who's the Lord? The declaration is given using words that Jewish people would sit up and go, wait, what? It's actually happening? The Messiah we've been hoping for, the Messiah that's been foretold by our prophets, now? Now it's happening? The angels make a declaration to God's covenant people through regular men. Emmanuel has come. Tonight's the night. The angel's declaration is followed by the hosts of heaven praising God. Lord willing, for us within the visible church, we think of three past scenes. And if you don't, let me be the first to introduce this to you, and hopefully you think about it from now on. There are three other angelic scenes in the Old Testament that you're supposed to think about. First one is Jacob, with angels ascending and descending from earth to heaven. The second one is Isaiah, as he serves in the temple, and he sees the seraphim, and he hears their praises shake the very foundations of the temple. And the third one, of course, is Ezekiel, as he is with the exiles in Babylon, and he sees the glory of God and those that worship him. Yet there's something unique about this scene. Because in the other angelic scenes, those were given to privileged people. The first one, Jacob, is the grandson of Abraham. Jacob is the one through whom the promised seed will continue. Isaiah and Ezekiel are both priests and prophets. The first three are given to privileged people within God's covenant people. But here, what is extraordinary is regular men receive an angelic vision. They are the ones that hear that Emmanuel has been born, that God has made a way for peace to rest upon those who he favors. God has done all that he has promised. This should amaze us, because you should know, we should all know, that that very night in Jerusalem, there were priests going about their priestly duty. There were priests tending the fire on the altar. Not one of them heard the angelic praise. That night, We also know that King Herod and his family were in his palace, no doubt sleeping, enjoying a life of ease. Not one note of angelic praise rang through those palace halls. No, the place that got to hear the choirs of heaven declaring the praise of Emmanuel is in a nondescript field, and the audience is just regular men. Here's the ones who received the great declaration. God has come in flesh. God has taken on a true body and a reasonable soul. You know what's interesting about this, as you look at the Gospel of Luke, there's no possible way anybody can identify this field. And there's no possible way that anybody can identify the shepherds. Luke doesn't allow for that. And Luke doesn't allow for that because the Holy Spirit doesn't want you to know. The Holy Spirit wants you to know that to regular people on a regular night, the greatest news of all was declared. Emmanuel has come. God's gift of salvation wasn't declared to the rich and powerful, and nor to the religious elite, but to regular people like us. Think of what that means for us today. The gospel is meant for us. It's meant for a regular family working to make ends meet. It's meant for the regular person facing the regular struggles of this life. God condescends and reveals his glory, not to those that the world deem worthy, but to his people, to people like you and me. And Luke reveals to us that this declaration was completely unexpected, and we know that because of how Luke records the shepherds' reactions. They reacted with fear. That is the common response of God's glory. God's glory is never a pleasant thing in Scripture. God's glory always reveals our sinfulness. Seeing perfection reveals the imperfection within us. And therefore, all who see it naturally respond in fear. To those living a regular life, the greatest news was given. The Messiah had come. And they were the ones who got to hear it and see him. Salvation would not be restricted. God's peace would not be regulated by an elite group, doled out only to those who they deemed worthy. Salvation was for God's people, given by God alone. Here's the great declaration. And the declaration leads us to the decision. As the angels leave the shepherds, as their praise now only echoes in the shepherd's ear, a decision has to be made. What do they do? Do they go? Do they stay? Now, before you dismiss this, I need you to ponder what is at stake. I need you to comprehend what they have to choose to do. Their job is simple. They have to watch the flock. They have to watch the flock and guard it from bandits or predators. And if you've ever raised sheep, Paul can tell you, I can tell you, you have to guard sheep from themselves. The angels have made a great declaration. The baby isn't born in their field. The baby's in Bethlehem. And they have to make a decision. Do they go or do they stay? Because if they go, they're leaving a flock vulnerable. They're leaving their work. They're leaving what they're supposed to be doing. What takes priority? A decision had to be made. The good news of Christ's birth was a disruption. The good news of Christ's birth is always a disruption. The gospel today still demands the same decision. To everyone who hears the good news of great joy, a decision has to be made. Do we allow Christ to disrupt our lives? And disrupt them he will. Think of what Christ says later on. He says that he did not come to bring peace, but division. He actually said that his message would divide families. Jesus didn't come to make a good life better. His salvation brings disruption. Jesus came to be worshipped, to be sought after, to be pursued. The discussion and the decision of the shepherds challenges everyone who ever hears of the story of Christ's incarnation. What will you do with this Christ? Some make Jesus into a routine. He's acknowledged occasionally, or maybe only twice a year. And this Jesus fits neatly into the rhythm of life. He never disturbs our plans. He never demands much. And he never cries out at all. He's the sentimental Jesus. He's there to be enjoyed, and he's never disruptive. And we actually see this displayed in the story with those the shepherds encounter. Those who heard the shepherds wondered at what the shepherds proclaimed. And that word is important because it denotes marvel. It's about being amazed, but often in the gospel, it's not linked to faith. For instance, that same word is used throughout the gospels to describe the crowds responding to Jesus' earthly ministry. They wondered at the miracles. They wondered at his teachings. And yet those same crowds would call for his death. The people who heard the shepherds wondered. That's all. That's all they did. They wondered. And they will continue to wonder at this Jesus. Humanity today still wonders at the idea of God becoming a man. Many wonder at the idea of a babe born in the flesh to save sinners. They wonder at a couple alone in a stable because there's no room for them at the inn. They wonder at a young woman giving birth to the hope of the world. But that's as far as it goes. They hear the good news of Christ and they wonder and continue on with their regular lives. Not so the shepherds. The good news had disrupted their night and they decided to pursue that disruption. And it meant immediate risk. But what was proclaimed to them was worth the risk. And Luke informs us how the shepherds go. They go with haste. They don't make a list. They don't make plans for unforeseen circumstances. They go in haste. They go to see the good news. There's a third reaction tucked quietly into the narrative. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary quietly reflects on all that happened. The shepherds immediately react. Mary ponders. And in the Gospels, we see a struggle occur in Mary's life. She receives the promise well. But in Jesus' earthly ministry, we see doubt arise. For instance, in Mark chapter 3, Mark chapter 3 declares that Jesus' family thought for a time he was out of his mind. Yet as we saw last week, after the resurrection, Mary is with the disciples as they are praying and waiting for the Holy Spirit. Some only wonder. Some need time to ponder. And others immediately embrace the disruption of Christ. What are you doing with the one born in the manger? The decision made by the shepherds leads to devotion. Notice what happens when their decision is made to seek the babe. Once they've seen the promised Messiah, they cannot keep silent. They must proclaim the good news of great joy, and this devotion is revealed in two ways, proclamation and worship. First, Luke declares, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. They understood that it was for all God's people, not just for them, and so they declared what they had heard and seen. Here is proclamation. The other aspect of their devotion is worship. They glorified and praised God. God's salvation always leads to praise. The shepherds' proclamation and worship reveal their devotion, and this isn't a new thing. For instance, when you look at what the shepherds do compared to the Old Testament, you actually realize, oh, they're just being faithful. For instance, listen to Psalm 9. Sing praises to the Lord who sits enthroned in Zion. Tell among the peoples his deeds. Notice that. Praise, proclamation. Listen to Psalm 40. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts towards us. None can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell of them, yet they are more than can be told. Praise, proclamation. Who does it? Not some gifted person called an evangelist, those who are faithful to the covenant. We could go on. We could look at Psalm 71, 78, and 105. All the Psalms reveal the faithful do two things in devotion, proclaim and praise. This is what the faithful do. You see, the shepherds aren't given an extraordinary office. They're not ordained to anything special. They're just being faithful to God. They're doing what a person under the covenant is supposed to do. Proclaim and praise. Many use the shepherds as an example of evangelism. Rightly so. Notice how the shepherds evangelize. Proclaim and praise. Evangelism isn't an extraordinary gift. It's not an extraordinary act. It is being faithful to God's covenant. And to be faithful in God's covenant, you do two things. Proclaim his acts and praise him for those acts. That's it. And notice how the shepherds do it. They do it as they return to their regular life. Just because they've experienced salvation doesn't mean they are now set apart and they're going to travel the world gathering crowds to let them know of the angel's glory. No. They're going back to the field to watch the sheep because that's their vocation. But as they do, they are faithful to God's covenant, and so they evangelize by proclaiming and praising. We who profess Christ, are we faithful to the covenant? Because the shepherds reveal what the faithful do. They proclaim and they praise. There's nowhere in Scripture where you're allowed to say, I'll only take the praise part. And there's nowhere in Scripture that says, I'll only proclaim. The faithful do two things. They are devoted to God, so they do two things. They proclaim his mighty acts, and they praise God for those mighty acts. Does this describe your life? Would others outside of your family, outside of this church, know that you are devoted to Christ? God's people speak of God's acts, and they worship God for his acts. Do you? This morning, we've heard once again the good news of great joy that is for all of God's people. The Messiah has come. Jesus Christ our Lord was born of a virgin. He took on a true body and a reasonable soul to be the Savior of his people. What are you doing with that great declaration? First, a decision has to be made. Do you only wonder at this story? Is it something that gives you warm feelings once a year? Or are you actually devoted to it? The good news of great joy is that Jesus, our Messiah, has come to save his people from their sins against him. Peace with God is possible through Christ. Will you pursue Christ no matter the disruption? Will you proclaim God's mighty act and worship him? Or merely wonder and go about your life? Christ has come. The angels have declared his birth. The shepherds have revealed he is worthy of our devotion. What decision will you make? Let's pray. Most merciful, holy God, as we ponder again the incarnation and the glorious declaration and the shepherd's decision to go and see and the devotion that they reveal, Father, I pray that today we would ponder, we would examine ourselves. Are we merely wondering at the incarnation, or are we devoted to it? What do our lives proclaim to those that we meet? What do our deeds and our words say about what we think of Christ? Oh, Father, as we examine our lives, I pray that all of us would be able with confidence to say, we are like the shepherds. We are devoted to Christ, for we have seen his great salvation. We've experienced it. And we desire others to know what we know. Oh, Father, may we be a church that is devoted to God, proclaiming and praising your mighty acts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.